But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of humans imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Father, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. This last week, my 16-year-old daughter approached me with an essay that was set to her in high school for her IB, her International Baccalaureate. And it was, the essay title was for the course, The Theory of Knowledge. And the question was, are your five senses the best way of gaining information in the world? How do you know what you know? In this season of Epiphany, and we are in our second to last week looking at God Speaks, how can we know anything about the world, about ourselves, or even about God? And it's an interesting question. It's very similar, that question that Sophia had is the very same questions asked it's the first essay you have to write when you're studying philosophy at Oxford University, which is, how do I know I'm not dreaming? Can you answer that question for me? But here in this passage from St. Paul, written to the Corinthians, we are exploring how God reveals himself to us. And Paul tells us three things. That God reveals himself through the message of Scripture. He reveals himself through his Spirit. And then he reveals himself through the saints. He reveals himself through Scripture. You see, the Corinthian church was a very diverse church. You had people who were Jews, you had people who were Gentiles. The Greeks loved their reason and their logic, and they thought that was a way to try to find ultimate meaning and purpose in life. Jewish people, which are more similar to your kind of Eastern ways of looking at the world, it wasn't all about logic and knowledge in that sense, but it was about experience, about power. And what Paul is saying is that you do not have the capacity as the Corinthian church, you as the New Smyrna Beach church, don't have the capacity to know who God is unless he reveals himself to you. He reveals himself through Scripture. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And my speech was a message, not of plausible words, but of power. The message of the Bible in which God speaks to us. It's as St. Augustine says, the Bible speaks of nothing more than God's love for us. You see, God speaks to us through Scripture. If God is all-powerful and all-loving, it would then seem to be that he would communicate in an all-powerful and all-loving way. God speaks to us by Scripture. If you've ever flown over the Hudson River or over New York or Newark, you might see this small, tiny green statue in the harbor. And we all know that this statue was made by Frederick Bartholdi and Gustav Eiffel back in the late 1800s. But here's the thing about that statue is that Bartholdi and Eiffel probably never welded a steel beam. They probably never hammered a piece of copper. They probably never laid a brick. And yet we say that they were the genius or the inspiration behind making that. Thousands of bricklayers and masons and welders and coppersmiths got together to make this thing possible. But the genius behind it was the mind of those two men. Similarly, the Bible is one book, but it's actually got 66 books in it. And it's got at least 40, if not 200 different authors in that. But yet Paul tells us when he writes Timothy, he says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, or some translations say is inspired by God. God was the creative genius behind making this book. And yet the creative genius of the shepherds, the vine dressers, the doctors, yes, even the tax collectors that wrote some of these books, shines forth in there. I mean, can you see the accountant, the IRS agent, giving you all the big ats of Matthew 1? or all the doctor's reports of Jesus' crucifixion in Luke, or Amos the vine dresser who says, I am not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, I'm just a vine dresser. Their personality shined through, but there was one genius mind inspiring it all. Supernature breaking into nature, trying to speak to us. And this was a stumbling block to the Corinthians, whether you were a Corinthian Jew or a Corinthian Gentile. Because we think that we can think our way to God or that we can understand the world. But as my daughter pointed out in her essay, that we think our five senses are enough to give us information about the world. But we all have our biases, and we all can misinterpret things. And unless something breaks in to inform us, we don't have that capacity. A.N. Wilson, who was a writer and a critic in The Scotsman a few years ago in that magazine, he wrote how he went from being an atheist to being an agnostic to then embracing the Christian faith while he was at a dinner party in London. And A.N. Wilson said that it happened like this. He was sitting at a dinner party having a conversation with someone else, and all of a sudden he realized that the way his worldview had him thinking about everything was that he was sitting across from someone at this dinner party, and they were uttering things, and he was seeming to understand them, and he was replying back, and they were seeming to understand him. And all of a sudden, he said, the way that his worldview had told him that if there wasn't supernature, if there was no God, that it was just one arthropoid ape grunting at another ape, and they both thought they were understanding each other. Alvin Plantinga even takes up on this. He's a professor of moral theology and philosophy. He said, he wrote an essay called Evidentiary Arguments Against Naturalism. And he said, evolution tells us how things happen, but not why. And even if it's a non-guided, non-theistic evolution, the whole purpose of why you are here on this planet is what the survival of the species tells us, right? It's the survival of the fittest. You are designed to propagate your DNA. That's all it was. You did not evolve with the capacity to discern truth or right or wrong. You just evolved to pass on your DNA. But actually, evolution only tells you how, not why. But when supernature breaks in, he breathes life into us. And that's what happened there in Genesis, where it says that God breathed into humanity and they became a living soul. We were given rationality, reason, and the ability to comprehend. And then when we turned away from God, that's when reason started becoming dimmed. And we started misunderstanding each other. I mean, think about that. What's the first effect after the fall? The husband and wife can't even talk to each other. They can't even understand what each other is trying to say. And to this day, I would bet that oftentimes husband and wives to this day still have problems communicating or understanding. There's what one says and what the other one hears, and then there's actually what's being said. But God speaks all powerfully and all lovingly through Scripture. But he speaks preeminently through his Son, because from cover to cover, this book is one story. It's about a God who loves us, who made us, a people who rejected him, and then he chases us through the corridors of history in love and writes himself into the story that we might actually know him. That's what Scripture tells us. Scripture speaks about God. On the 6th of May of 2023 at Westminster Abbey, King Charles III was crowned king, and the Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator of the Church of Scotland approached him. And the moderator of the Church of Scotland picked up a book and he handed it to the king and he said, Sir, to keep ever mindful the law and gospel of God as the rule of the whole life and government of Christian princes, receive this book, the most valuable treasure this world has to offer. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. See, God didn't just speak way in the past to special people, to shepherds and poets and tax collectors. He speaks today to us by his Spirit. The two ways in which he does that with us is first through inspiration. He fills us with his Spirit that we might be able to listen to him. But secondly, he gives us illumination. And what is illumination? Have you ever tried reading this book and it didn't make sense to you? Probably, right? And then there's other times where you pick it up and it's like the light bulb goes off. It's like an epiphany of the ordinary. It finally makes sense. That's what we call in Christian doctrine the idea of illumination. The Holy Spirit makes these words come alive. And they speak to us. I remember a friend of mine, in fact, it's in a book that my brother just published called Shooting Up, and I have a few copies there in the back for you. But there's a story of this guy called Miguel Jambrina. He was one of my Sunday school teachers. He was a heroin addict, and he came into my dad's drug rehab. And as he came in there, he had gotten off heroin, but he was still addicted to his tobacco. And he discovered something really amazing about the Bible. The Bible is this amazing book that has these really thin pages. And so he would go behind the men's residence and he would rip out a page and he'd put the tobacco in it. He would roll it and he would smoke it. And then after a while, he realized that, you know, maybe I probably shouldn't do this. Or at least if I am going to do this, why don't I at least just like read the page before I rip it out, and then I'll roll it and I smoke it. So he opened up John 1, and he was about to rip it out, but he read it, and then he ripped out John 1 and rolled it and smoked it. Then he got to John 2, and he ripped it out, and he rolled it, and he smoked it. And then he got to John 3, and he read it, and then he rolled it, and then he smoked it. But then he read in John 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Hamadi at that point put the Bible down, and he said, "I don't know how this kind of works," but he said, "Dear God, I'm sorry for all the bad I've done in my life. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Will you come into my life and change me? In your name we pray. Amen." And then he said, and I hope I got that right. But the crazy thing about this is that God speaks to us, not just through words on a page, but through his Spirit. The Spirit sometimes whispers to us and speaks to us. About 3 months ago, I went into Aldi to do a shop. And as I grabbed all my groceries, I was standing in the checkout line, and I noticed the lady in front of me, and I kind of had this like prompting, this kind of like impression that I should pay for her groceries. But I kind of wrestled with that. I said, I'm not going to do this. It's going to be weird. She'll think I'm weird and religious. So I wrestled with the idea. It felt like it was centuries, but I'm sure it was only like a split second. But then as she was about to check out, I said, "Excuse me, ma'am, I'm a Christian. And sometimes as Christians, we hear from the Holy Spirit. And I just felt like I needed to pay for your groceries." She nearly burst in tears. And she said, "You have no idea. It's almost payday. I don't have any money in my bank account. I've almost maxed my credit cards out. I only have $50 left on my credit card." And as I was going around Aldi, I actually had to put back things onto the shelf. She said, "I thank you." If we just make space to listen to God, to listen to his Spirit, there's these amazing things that God can do in you and through you if we just make space. If we listen and if we are able and willing to respond to that. God speaks to us. He speaks in amazing ways if we will just make space. In fact, isn't that how John 1 opens up? It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God has constantly been communicating. The question is, are we listening? In 1981, there was my dad was teaching economics at the University of Puebla in Mexico. And he was walking between classes through, not a quad, but through the campus as all the students were scurrying here and there. And as they were walking, he kind of had this thought pop in his brain. Not sure if that ever happens to you. And the thought was, he was just reminded of a Bible verse from Psalm 46. And it said, "Be still and know that I am God." So he just paused right there, and all the students were running here and there trying to make it to their next lecture. And all of a sudden, as he just stopped, sensing God's presence, he just noticed that the pavement started to wave and ripple like the ocean here at New Smyrna Beach. And it was a little earthquake that was recorded in Michoacán, just about 700 miles to the east. But he was listening to the Spirit, and even in the middle of all the hectic things of your life, if you make space, you can hear God's still voice whispering to you, speaking to you. But now you might say, okay, so you were trying to listen to God. How do we know that that wasn't just the frijoles from last night that your dad was listening to? Or how do you know that it wasn't that, you know, whatever food you had there the night prior before Aldi? God speaks to us. And since he inspired his word, anytime you get an impression like that or a thought like that, check it by the Bible. If it accords with God's nature and character as revealed in Scripture, go ahead and do it. And if it doesn't, you can ignore that voice because that voice ain't from God. It's a bit like those old Looney Tunes cartoons, right? The white guy and the red guy sitting on the shoulder. But listen to God's still voice, because he will only say what he has already said preeminently through his son, Jesus, in Scripture. God speaks through Scripture. But lastly, God speaks through saints. He speaks through you as you listen to him. And as you go out from here in his presence, be open to what God can do in and through you. I mean, just in these last few weeks in this crazy cold that we have, we've got this amazing lady called Judy Jodwin that is a member of this church. She's been here for 20-some years, if not 30-some years. Like it's in the upper 20s, right? The number of years that you've been here. But she just had this prompting from the Holy Spirit. It's cold outside. I'm going to go down to where the homeless are, and I'm going to volunteer over the weekend, and I'm going to provide blankets for them, and I'm going to show them God's love. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, you can participate in what God is trying to do in this world. And you can transform someone's life with the power of the gospel and God's grace. So, Lord, we thank you that today you didn't come with lofty words or eloquent wisdom, but you came with power. Power in the weakness of your Son, Jesus, crucified, bloody on the cross, yet risen and resurrected, reigning victorious and giving life and light to your people, that we might bring life and light wherever we go. And we thank you for this in Christ's strong name. Amen.